Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Ruth, chapter 4.
Well, one of the places in biblical history from which it had been taken is right from here. 10 elders that Boaz took, and those elders, in Hebrew, zkenim, they will come and they will listen in on the conversation between Boaz and the nearer kinsman redeemer, Hagoel Hakarov. So Boaz is setting up the stage. He's longing to redeem Ruth. And to remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that Boaz is a type and a picture of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Even his name means in him there is strength. It's really representing to us the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And here he is now setting the stage, so he will appeal to the kinsman who was nearer than him. Well, look at the thought here, beloved brothers and sisters. In verses 3 and 4, Boaz shares with this nearer kinsman all the doings of Naomi. And he began in verse 3, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, she selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother's Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of the people. Here he's approaching him and he's informing him about Naomi. Now I am confident, and you and I can be as well, that this man already knew very well who Naomi is, that she was in the land of Moab for 10 years with her husband Elimelech. They probably knew all the events that occurred there, that Elimelech died, and that the two sons, Mahlon and Kilion, married two Moabitish women, and then that the two sons, Mahlon and Kilion, also died in the land of Moab. He knows all the story. He probably also knows very well that Ruth and Orpah began their journey to come back to the land of Bethlehem with their mother, but Orpah decided to go back to Moab, to their family, to her gods. But Ruth made a decision to come to the land of Israel. He probably knew all this, but he hadn't done anything about it. And now Boaz was approached by Ruth to redeem her, and Boaz made a decision to go and to do something about it. And as we have seen, it must have been that Boaz fell in love with this Moabitish woman. He must have fallen in love with her, and he says, I'm going to do whatever I can in order to help you and to redeem you. And you know, when we look at Ruth, it reminds us of ourselves. We who were strangers. We were the one who had no hope. We were the one who had no future. We were the one who are sinners by nature and no ground to stand upon before the living God. We were the one who were far away from God. As the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Men love darkness rather than light. While we were yet poor, while we were yet without strength, while we were yet enemies, God have done something in order to redeem us to himself. Really, we can see ourselves here in this love story of this man by the name of Boaz, who is type of Yeshua the Messiah. So he is approaching this nearer kinsman, and he's telling him all these things before everybody else, so everybody will understand what Boaz is appealing to. He says, Naomi sold the parcel of land. It belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I want to inform you, and I would challenge you to buy it. Naomi has a need. Naomi became poor. Remember, she left the land of Canaan, the city of Bethlehem, because there was a famine in the land. Her land had no more value, and no crop had been sown. There was no crop that had rose up in the time of reaping and so on. So she was in a poor condition. She sold this land that belonged to Elimelech, and I want you, and I'm challenging you, buy the land before the inhabitants and before the elders of the people. And I want you to notice that at this point of time, he doesn't mention Ruth at all. He only mentioned the land. Notice what he tells him in verse 4. He challenged him, the kinsman, to redeem it. If you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it before thee, and I am after thee. So he's challenging this kinsman, this Goel, this relative of Naomi, to buy the land from Naomi. And he said to him, if you're not going to buy it, let me know. And I'm going to buy it myself. And notice what he says. In verse 4, he says, I will redeem it. This nearer kinsman than Boaz said, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to ligol, to purchase it. Now remember, beloved brothers and sisters, when a person will buy a part of a land that belongs to the family, he will buy it in trust until the time comes and he will have to hand it over back to the family. Of course, they will have to pay the money, but he will hold it in trust. Why? Because the land belongs to their family and they ought not to be given to someone else. It will be kept for Elimelech and Mahlon, the family, through Naomi. It will be kept until the time will come and they will be able to purchase this back for themselves. Now please turn with me back to Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. And if thy brother waxen poor, and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin, here's where you get the word kinsman, if any of his relatives come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. You see, there is a law that God had given to our people of old that when a man of the family becomes poor and is unable to sustain his land, that a relative, a goel, a kin, a family member will buy it on his behalf. And he will keep that land for a while. And of course, as we read in our previous meeting together, verse 28 tells us that in the year of Jubilee, all the lands going back to their original owners. So no one will ever lose his or her land because that belonged to the tribe and to the family of each from among the people of Israel. So there is that law. And he's saying to him, listen, you are first in line, buy the land from Naomi, and if you are not going to buy the land from Naomi, I'm going to buy it. And the answer was, I will redeem it. Anochi egal, he said to him in the Hebrew language. But now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, what Boaz does. In verse 5, Boaz now presents the fact that the Redeemer must also buy Ruth, HaMoaviah, the Moabitish woman. He says in verse 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitish woman, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. You see, again, there were various laws that had been given to our people of old, the people of Israel, concerning the Redeemer. Number one, he must buy the land. Secondly, he also must purchase the widow for the purpose that he will marry her and will raise up a seed unto his own brother. This is Very important to understand, beloved brothers and sisters, not only that the Redeemer has to buy the land, but the Redeemer also has to purchase the wife of the dead and to marry her and to have a child through her, and that this child will carry on the family of the deceased. Now, you and I have to realize how important among the people of Israel was to maintain a seed for the family. The rabbis of Israel also said that the soul of a deceased Jewish man cannot rest until he has a seed to continue his family generation. Of course, we know very well that it's not only a matter of the soul cannot rest. This is just simply an expression that the rabbis say. But we know according to the word of God that God wanted that the seed of Israel will maintain and continue on for many, many reasons, especially because ultimately the seed of the woman, the Messiah, will be born. And he must go through a certain line of the families, whether it is through Adam and then later on to the family of David and on, the tribe of Judah, the family of David, and ultimately the Messiah will be born. So even for this express purpose, they had to preserve families and seed of the family. And that's why here it's very important that he would also have to buy Ruth. And I want you to notice here that it clearly says, Ruth the Moabitess. You see, in chapter 3, when Boaz asked Ruth, who are you? She eliminated the word Moabitess. She just said, I am Ruth, your servant. But here, Boaz is mentioning the word Moab. She's not a Hebrew. She's not an Israeli. She's not Jewish. She's Moabitess woman. Now, look what God said to Israel about the Moabites. This is Deuteronomy 23, verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation, they shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And he added at the end, forever. And now Boaz is mentioning this to the nearer kinsman. And he says, listen, you already declared that you are willing to buy Naomi's land. But now I want to tell you something else. You also must buy it of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. And here is the reason: to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Naomi's husband Elimelech died. Ruth's husband Mahlon died. And here are these two women without no one to continue on the family's name. And now the only one that can help them is the kinsman redeemer, is the relative to buy the land and also to buy Ruth and marry her to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Now, notice what happened here. The moment Boaz said this to the nearer kinsman, according to verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Then he says, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. In this verse, we learn that he did not say, I will not redeem it. He just said, I will redeem when it's come to the land. But when it's come to Ruth HaMoaviyah, Ruth the Moabitish woman, then he stopped and he says, I cannot redeem it. Why you cannot redeem it? Lest I mar mine own inheritance. Now you see, for him to purchase Ruth the Moabitish woman, which the law said in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Lad. There is a great lesson here, beloved brothers and sisters, to learn here. And I want to emphasize, he did not say, I will not, but he did say, I cannot. And why he said, I cannot? Because I do not want to mar my own inheritance. That's why it is so important for us to study the Word of God and to learn the Scripture with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me remind you once again of the verses that we often read in Romans chapter 15. The Apostle Paul said to the brothers and sisters of Rome, the believers, the Christian, the Meshichim, those who believe in Yeshua the Messiah, he says to them in verse 4, for whatsoever were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. What Paul is saying to the brothers and sisters at Rome, he says, brethren, whatever was written aforetime by the Hebrews, by the Israelites, by the Hebrew prophets, by the Jewish people of old, was written for our learning. And that we, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and through the comfort of the Scripture might have hope. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, he continued and he said there to the brothers and sisters there at Corinth, now all these things happen unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world was come. In other words, what we are to learn, beloved brothers and sisters, that there is a spiritual lesson from the book of Ruth. There is a spiritual lesson for us from the event that happened some years ago before Yeshua the Messiah came to this world. And so he's saying to him, the moment that you are going to buy the land, you also have to take to you the woman by the name of Ruth from Moab and to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And this nearer kinsman, who is called Ho, such a one, Ploni, Almoni, said to Boaz, this time I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Now, what is the lesson? Let me just say a few points here that are very, very important. There were laws that were given to the people of Israel by the Lord in order to redeem some family member or also to carry on the name of a deceased brother or uncle or relative. There was a law. We read them, Leviticus chapter 25 and verses 25 to 31. We read Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 5 on. And also we can read other passages like Job 29. Those laws, those instructions that were given to Israel were for a reason. And all of them served to be a type and a picture of Yeshua, the Messiah, who would come to redeem you and I, who are really like Ruth. We were far from a faraway land. We were strangers. We had no hope. And the way where God could bring us to a relationship with Himself, we who were poor, away from the Lord. And so those laws were given. And so if someone was going to become a redeemer, a goel, a savior, there were three things that he must have. Number one, the goel, the redeemer, must be a relative. And sure indeed, we find out that this redeemer, he was a relative. Boaz was a relative. If someone was going to be able to redeem someone's land, a person to raise up a seed for them, he must be a relative. That's the first thing that the Hebrew Scripture teaches us. Number two, he must be willing to redeem the person with a need. In light of this passage in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, I'm willing to redeem the land. But when it's come to the person of Ruth the Moabite, he says, I am unable to redeem her because I'm going to mar my inheritance. Thirdly, we learn from this passage that if someone is going to become a goel, a redeemer, he also must be able to redeem. And here we learn that this person was not able to redeem because he didn't want to mar his inheritance by embracing a Moabitish woman and bringing her into his family, having a child through her, extending the family, and ultimately, can you imagine now, through this Moabitish woman, he will extend the seed of Elimelech and Mahlon, and he didn't want to have any Ammonite among the nation of Israel because of Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3. But here what we learn about the Messiah, Yeshua. Here Boaz become a wonderful type of Yeshua, the Messiah. You see that those three things that we learn about Boaz and we learn about our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Well, the first thing that I want to say, if the Redeemer must be a blood relative, how will God redeem you and I who are sinners? Who are far away from the things of God, who have gone astray, who have been poor and miserable and wretched, like Ruth have been, who came from Moab. Well, in order for God to be able to save men, God had to become a man. He had to enter humanity and, as it were, beloved brothers and sisters, be a relative, have relationship with you and I as men, yet seen apart. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 1, 2, and verse 14. Notice what it says. We are talking about the Redeemer. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. This is the divine nature of the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, but notice what it says in verse 14. Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God had to become a man. Because if someone is able to redeem anyone from among the people of Israel, he must be a blood relative. Well, God could not save us by power. He had to save us on a basis of the work of the Messiah on the cross, substitution. So how can he do that? He had to enter humanity in the person of the Son. And the Word became flesh. And you know, those that have been just celebrating recently the birth of the Messiah in the city of Bethlehem, well, the miracle of Bethlehem is that God became a man. He was born in the city of Bethlehem to the Jewish virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. And you remember the Magi with the star. We have seen his moving star from east to west, from north to south. It's the Shekinah glory that really presented before the Magi this newborn babe or child that was born in the city of Bethlehem. God became a man. It was the prophet of Israel who said unto us, a child is born and a son is given. Micah 5 verse 2 says, Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the least among the cities of Judah, out of thee shall come the ruler who will rule my people Israel. And then he says, who is going forth is from everlasting. God existed in eternity past, and humanity became a relative. Men like you and I, yet without sin. Here's another verse. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 2 for a moment, because this is where we really need to focus on the kinsman redeemer. He must be, number one, a blood relative like this kinsman was. And now notice that in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 14, look what the Hebrew writers say about Yeshua. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, this is you and I, humanity, we have flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took human nature. Why he take human nature? Verse 14b, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver, notice verse 15, them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. You see, he did not become an angel, Yeshua. He became a man. He did not take upon himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became a Hebrew. He became Jewish, an Israeli man, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because he wanted to redeem you and I, and he could not do it otherwise. You know, that's why we believe in the gospel message so much, is because God cannot redeem a man by power. He must redeem a man or woman on the basis of substitution. Blood must be shed. Life must be taken away that another life will be preserved. So how can he do it? Well, the Redeemer must be a blood relative. And Yeshua the Messiah became a man like you and I. Our Goel, our Redeemer. One more verse. Look what Paul mentioned in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, "For when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman." He was born here in this world just like you and I were born to a woman. This woman's name is Miriam. And he was the sinless one. And notice he said he was made under the law. Why did he come to this world? Notice verse 5. To redeem them. Ligol. To buy them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So brothers and sisters, number one to bear in mind when we think about the kinsman redeemer, number one, he must be a blood relative.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.